When the author of the book of Genesis was running to begin this story, this poem of creation, with an image of absolute chaos and disorder, they could find no better image than to speak of the Spirit of God hovering over the waves, the wind-swept water. Because for the Jewish people, just like for most of the people of the ancient Near East, the waves, the sea, the ocean, were all these frightening realities. I mean, I still remember as a child, we grew up, there was a mountain range between us and the ocean, so we were kind of blocked from any of the influences of the sea, and it was too far away to be able to hear it. I still remember we stayed as a family in my aunt and uncle's holiday house, which was down at Tatha and right near the beach, sitting up on a headland. And I remember that first night of listening to the waves of, the sound of the waves crashing against the rocks. I'd heard it during the day, but there's something about that noise at night. Something about the power of this unseen force, this constant noise, this roar of water and waves and the sound of all of that, that is quite overwhelming, that is especially for a young person or for someone not used to that. Now, for the apostles, this must have been some storm, because half of them at least are fishermen. Half of them have grown up around the lake, and they know its power, they know the force and the fury of those waves. And so to have been there and to imagine that this was it, this was the storm that was going to end all the storms. The water was beginning to lash and to so overwhelm the boat that it was beginning to fill up, and you could feel the fear and the whole sense that this is it. There's just too much. There's no way that this rickety little boat would be able to make it the rest of the way safely, and that this was going to be the place where perhaps they knew so many people before that had drowned in nights like this out in the middle of the sea. And so they thought this was it. This was their chance. And where was Jesus? Lying asleep. And I love that little detail that is only found in the Gospel of Mark, that he had even found a cushion to put there under his head, and he's lying there on a cushion, that perfect kind of male image, making himself nice and comfortable, and he's there with not a care in the world, while everyone else is just scared, witless, and overwhelmed by this whole scene. It's one of those stories that obviously so impacted upon the disciples. All four Gospels tell this story. There's only two stories that all four Gospels tell, this one and the story of the multiplication of the loaves and fish. And so this powerful sense of that night, they remember it so well, with all of the crystal details are provided there for us, telling us that the other boats were there and telling us that Jesus went ahead and all of that had happened before and after. They remember it just so clearly because they're still amazed. They're still shocked by the power of someone. They'd seen his work. They'd seen him do these miracles. They'd seen him heal the sick. They'd seen him cast out demons. But they'd never seen anyone be able to command the wind and the waves, to from the roar of the water to the still of that night. And that's the power of God. That's the power that is available to us. This power that with Jesus in the boat, anything is indeed possible. The boat has always been in the Christian church an image of the church, and always an image of our Lord traveling with his people. It's a great sign that the image, the logo of our parish is of St. Columbus. Being there on the waves of that ship, being able to be carried there as a missionary, but as someone who travels with the Lord, bringing the presence of Christ, and of course bringing the presence of his church. The Lord never told us, the Lord never promised us that there would never be storms in our life. The Lord never said, don't worry, if you believe and trust in me, you'll always be setting sail on crystal clear, flat, still waters. No, the only thing he ever promised was that I will be with you. I will be there in the midst of whatever storms life will throw at you. And the storms will come. those trials, those things that are unexpected, those situations that just blow up out of the blue. And we're overwhelmed at times by the power of these situations, the power of this storm, the power of those things that just so strike us, and we just feel overwhelmed by all that life might throw at us. But the Lord will say, do not be afraid. I have the power to still the seas, the roaring and the waves. I have that power. All that we need to do is to remain in that boat, just to be with the Lord, to be with one another, knowing that with the Lord, with that power, with that glory that is available to us, He will take us and He will see us safely to the other shore. That's the gift of our faith. That's the gift of life. You know, sometimes the only prayer that we can pray is indeed just to cry out to God from the depths of who we are, to, you know, to call out to Him, just as so many of the psalmists have done, to cry out to God and just say, Lord, I need You now to be in this situation, and just to know that He will always answer that prayer. He will always be available to us. He may not, you know, wave the magic wand and suddenly solve every problem, every situation in our life, but He will always be with us, and He will always be there in the boat, guiding us and protecting us and ensuring that there will be no power that will be so devastating that will completely overwhelm us. Let's indeed bring our lives before the Lord and allow the Lord to travel with us, to journey with us, and to invite us to once again set out into the deep and to experience the power of His presence calling us into life.